Today's daf is daf Mem Dalet. We're starting the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Gimel Amid Beis. We've already had this Mishnah. The Gemara already quoted it. This Mishnah, in fact, if you look at it, it's really a continuation of the prior Mishnah. Of course, if you go back to the prior Mishnah on Mem Beis Amid Beis, you'll recall a person who found kalim that had on them a Tzuras Chama, Tzuras Levona, Tzuras Darkoin, says the Mishnah, Yolichem liyam hamelach. Why do you have to go and throw it into the Yam HaMelech? The reason is because these are all asurim bahano'ah, and to get them out of the way, to make sure there won't be a michshol to anyone, chas v'sholem, throw them to Yam HaMelech, because there we assume it will be irretrievable. We spoke about this before. What's so special about Yam HaMelech? Because people typically do not swim there. The ships and the boats typically do not go there. So you don't have to worry about anybody finding these avodah zarah. That's the best way of getting rid of them.
What about what we learned yesterday about you know, guy a patch and he can lavaka the gentile? Why don't you do that? Make it simple.
Our Mishnah is talking about a situation where there was no gentile available, and even after three pets, he was not willing to go and be mavaklet. So if you don't have the Eitzah of Bittul, the Eitzah is to go and throw it into Yam HaMelech. So Rabbi Yossi says, I am another Eitzah. And that Eitzah is, Shoichik v'zoyra l'ruach. Gzuntai. You do is you go and, Gzuntai. You go and take the Avodah Zarah, and you grind it up into small, little pieces. You pulverize it, and make it into a powder, v'zoyra l'ruach, and then you just let it go and scatter, and blow into the wind. That's another effective way of getting rid of it. Oy, mataliyam, or like the Tanakhama said in the previous Mishnah, you could put it to the Yam HaMelech. L'choira, on this aspect, Rabbi Yossi is not disagreeing with the Tanakhama. They both hold Yam HaMelech is an acceptable option. But there's some aforishim that say that mataliyam, stam yam normally means Yam HaMelech. But some aforishim say that the mataliyam is modifying the word shoichik, meaning that Rabbi Yossi is not giving you either shoichik v'zoyla ruach or mataliyam, but he's saying shoichik. First thing you should do is you should go and grind it up and crush it up and pulverize it. What do you do now? Now you have two eitzes, either zoyla ruach or mataliyam. So if that's the case, then in fact, Rabbi Yossi is arguing even on the mataliyam. Don't leave it intact and throw it into the Yam HaMelech. But mataliyam, you should go and first powder it, pulverize it, and then put it into the Yam HaMelech. This way you'll know for sure nobody will ever have hano'ah from this avodah zarah. Amru lois, the Chum said to Rabbi Yossi, on the surface it sounds like a great idea. However, afu nasa zevel. It's not a good idea. You know why? Because if you're going to be zoy l'ruach, these little particles might come onto a field, and this powder that's going to fall onto other fields could be used as zevel, shenemar. And the pasuk says, "Liyit b'yorchem mumanachayim." You're not allowed to have any hano whatsoever. And what Rabbi Yosef, what the Chacham are saying is that there, as a matter of fact, if you go and pulverize and make an avodah zarah into powder, you think now that it's ready, ayin ve'efes. It's ka'afra da'ara. No. In fact, this could be a fertilizer. If you want, there's a besmedish, which is with swarm and everything. Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you. So, afu nasa zevel, and therefore that's not a good idea because it could wind up on Jewish-owned fields, and therefore they will have hano'ah from the avodah zarah powder, so that's not a good idea. Now the Gemara, from here, and most of the Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yossi is going to find for us four times in history in Tanakh that they had Avodah Zarah, and what was the Eitzah to get rid of the Avodah Zarah? To go and be Shoichik V'Zoyre L'Ruach. One of the four cases. Case number one is the Egel. Omelim Rabbi Yossi, Tanya, Omelim Rabbi Yossi, V'alei Kvain Emet, it's in the Pasuk. V'eschataschem asher sisem es Egel l'kachti, I ground it up into a fine powder. Adasha dakli ofar. It was like sand. And then what did I do with the offer? And I threw it into the nachal. So you see over here, says Rabbi Yossi, that you have an eitzah. The eitzah is to go and make the egel, or make the avodah zarah, tochoin heitev asher dakli offer. And that's an excellent way of getting rid of it. So, chachomim, you see I have a b'feir shirayif in the pasuk. Amru lois, the chom responded, misham raya. That's not a good raya. Hari hu oimer v'yizer al pnei ha-mo'oyim v'yashk es b'nei Yisrael. L'neskavein el le-boitkan kis soitois. If the posik would go and say that after that he took the shoichik, these small little ground up pulverized pieces of the eger, and he threw it into the wind, oh, that's not what Rabbi Yossi holds in our Mishnah. But that's not what Moshe Rabbeinu did. After he pulverized it, he made it into a powder, he put it into the water, al pnei ha-moyim. And what did he do with that water? He had Klai Yisrael drink from the water. Just like your boidik a soita, that you don't know whether the soita did an aveira or not, so you'd give her the maim hamarim. Here too, we don't know every individual in Klai Yisrael, did they or did they not go and do avodah zarah with the egel? So you put the powder into the water and you had to drink it. Ah, so you don't have to worry about it became fertilizer, because this was not spread out, scattered by the wind. This was after it became powder, this was inserted in the water and given to Klai Yisrael to drink. So you have no raya from that case whatsoever.
Does that mean everything was used?
I'm sorry, Nachum?
It doesn't mean everything was used for that.
No, it doesn't mean that everything was used for that, but you don't have a raya that the rest of it was just he scattered it into the wind. Maybe after that they burned it, after that they put it into a trash bin, they got rid of it.
It says Vashuk Sefura Ranacha.
Ah, so that's so what Rabbi Yosef is asking is for Ashok Safura El Anachal. L'choira, what was the raya that Rabbi Yossi brought in the first place? Doesn't Nachal sound like he threw the offer into the river and therefore you don't have to worry about it, it's spreading over people's fields and acting as fertilizer? And the Mefarshim say, because the word Nachal has two interpretations. Nachal, what we usually think of it like Nachal Mitzroyim, which means a river. Nachal Mitzroyim perhaps referring to the Nile River.
Stream,
exactly. But Nachal can also mean a valley. How do I know? We're going to see in the Gemara shortly. Nachal Kidron was the Kidron Valley. So if you define the word Nachal over here, valley, so it says Befedish, that he threw the offer into the valley, and presumably people had fields in that valley, and therefore they had it as fertilizer. Yes, Shelley, Vazokstum.
Someone, I heard from someone once that the reason it's called a valley, at one point, a stream went through it.
Uh-huh.
As a stable, because every valley has a Kidron.
And then it dried up subsequently. And then right. Just, you had a dry valley. Very good.
Vice versa.
Yes, that was.
You have a valley. The water accumulates there.
That's okay.
And it becomes a stream.
Exactly. Rabbi Yosef says it could be the other way around, too. It first started off as a dry valley, and then there was a heavy rain like we had yesterday, and all of a sudden, now we have a stream there. It could be.
I like his stream of thought.
And I like yours, too. But anyway, bottom line, it says the Gemara that from the posik Esafori El Anachel, that would not be a clear-cut raya. Say the Chachamim, don't go and tell me about the fact that it was scattered into the wind. It says, B'feirish Avis Apanei Amoyim. That's clear. Water is water. You put into the water to be boidik for soitois, and therefore you cannot bring a raya one way or the other. By the way, by the Egla Rufa.
Yes. Even if it dries out, many Israel were not doing it. We're not using it for chatlaut, for agriculture. They were in the Midbar. So how could it possibly have helped them?
Very good.
It's a better question than Rabbi Yossi.
No. I wouldn't say it's a better question. Rabbi Yossi is...
Another question.
Rabbi Yossi is bringing a raya from this posik that the way you can get rid of an avodah zarah is to pulverize it into a powder. And we find that by the egel. That's what they did. You cannot go and ask Akasha, they're using it as fertilizer, and therefore the Chum say, no good. Why not? Because as you just said now, these were not agricultural properties. This was an arid midbar, and therefore people were not planting anything there. Very good. Shkoyach. But Rabbi Yossi said, or they said to Rabbi Yossi, that it was put into the water, and since it was put into water, the purpose was for Baidik Soitois, and therefore you have no raya to your halacha about the Shoichi V'Zorei L'Ruach, where we spoke about Nachal, so just want to bring to your attention that when we talk about the Egla Arufa in Parshas Kiseitse, there too there's a machloikis when it says that you're Va'orfu Shom in the Nachal Eson, so machloikis whether the Nachal was in fact a riverbed or we were talking about a valley. But we're getting off the subject, let's come back to us. So Rabbi Yossi tried to bring a raya from the egel that you can make it into a powder and spread it out and scatter in the wind. And the Chum said, don't bring a raya from there, because it didn't spread into the wind. They dumped it into the water to be boide kisaitis. So let's bring a second raya. We find by King Asa, HaMelech Asa. Melech Asa was a good king. And he had a mother or grandmother by the name of Ma'acha, who unfortunately, as we'll see in the Gemara, was a big Rishanta. Rishanta is a Yiddish term, meaning that she was a female Rasha. You'll see why I describe her that way shortly. So the Megam Ma'acha is a, it's not Imo, it's his aim. If you look at the base, the Gam Ma'acha, aim Asa, the mother of Asa, Ma'acha. It really wasn't the mother, it was the grandmother, but that's not important for our purposes. So what did she do? HaMelech, Asa HaMelech Hisira Migvira. Because Asa realized that Ma'acha was a bad lady, he was Hisira. He removed her, Migvira, from her position as queen. Why? Asha Asa L'Asheira. She took an Asheira. And she made it Mifletzes. Vayichrois Asa es Mifletzto. Vayodek, Vayisrois Benachal Kidrai. So what did King Asa do? Besides removing her from the Malchus, he also took her Asheira and her Miflatsta. We don't know what Miflatsta means yet, but we'll see shortly in the Gemara what Miflatsta is. He took it, Vayodek, and again, he made it into powder. He ground it up, dak dak. And he threw it after that in the Nachal Kidrai. Shelley had something to say?
It was
Asur. Asur. Okay, very good. Shkoyach. Anyway, beginning back to our Gemara, what do I see? Vayodek, says the Gemara. Vayisra benachal kidrei. So you see that that's an acceptable way of getting rid of Asherah and other avodah zarah. Like Rabbi Yossi said, shoichik v'zorei l'ruach. That's what we see over here, that King Asur went and took the Asherah, took the avodah zarah, and vayodek, and he made it into small pieces and presumably scattered by the wind. Is the haraya. Amrulai. So they said back to Rabbi Yossi, no, we respectfully disagree. Misham raya. Nachal kidron ena megadol tzmachim. Normally you would not be allowed to go and do this. Why? Because the chacham said in the Mishnah, it could become zevel, and that therefore it could be used for, it would give you hanoah to the Jews that owned fields, and therefore not a good idea. Says Rabbi Yossi, you see, that's what King Asa did. Kasher Asa. So you don't have a right. Zok to Yomara, Amrulay, Misham Raya, Nachal Kidron, Eina Megadol Tzmachim. Nachal Kidron does not, it was such a dry, arid karka. This is like David Fishman was saying a minute ago. It was so dry, then nothing could grow there. So there's no problem of potential zevel fertilizer. But if it's a regular field, then you wouldn't be allowed to. So don't bring me a raya from King Asa. Frank Timura, Veloy, you're telling me that Nachal Kidron is not a type of property that you can cultivate? What is this all about? We say Elu v'Elu is referring to two types of blood, the domim hachitzoinim and the domim hapnimim. What does that mean? Dom hachitzoinim. What means dom hachitzoinim, dom hapnimim? In the Beis Hamikdash, b'derech klal, 99% of all karbonos were brought b'chitzoin. That means the mizbeach in the azara. There were, of course, some karbonos that were brought bifnim, in the Heichal. And then they were brought on the other Mizbeach. Now the question is, which other Kabbanis? What are you talking about? Well, number one, you have, of course, the Kabbanis that were brought on Yom Kippur. That is the Soir HaNasa B'Fnim. What is the Soir HaNasa B'Fnim? We had the two Seirim that the Kohen Gadol had to select, and then they put on them Geirolois, and then one was the Sor LaHashem, the other was the Sor LaAzazel. The Sor LaHashem that was brought inside the Heichol, and of course we had the Zerikoi Sedam, Lefnai V'Lefnim, and then other Zerikas in front of the Peroiches in the Heichol, and so on and so forth. So that was every year. Throughout the year, you occasionally had Korbonis, which were Macht B'Fnim, which were those occasions. If a Kohen Gadol went, and unfortunately, let's go first to the Tzibur. If the Zikne Ha'eda made a mistake that they issued a wrong psak, and as a result, Roiv of Klal Yisrael went and followed that psak, that's called a par helem dover shel tzibur, or a par habo al kol hamitzvos. Two separate names for the same thing. That this par was brought inside the heichel as opposed to inside the azara. That was one case. Another case you have in Parsha Shlach, the Gabi of Chas V'Sholom, Klal Yisrael sinned with that the Zikmei or Eidah Paskin, that this is permissible, and after that they changed their mind, and Klal Yisrael had erred in Avodah Zarah, then once again you have to go and bring that carbon lefnim. So you do have occasionally these types of kabanis. So now, what did you do with the dam of the kabanis? Initially, of course, you did the Zrikas Adam. So the Zrikas Adam by a carbon that's Nasa B'chutz was Zrikas on the Mizbeach, that's Mizbeach Achitzoim, and then if you had one of those special kabanis that was brought lefnim, so then you had the Zrikos. Again, if it was Yom Kippur, it would be Lefnai Lefnim. If it would be throughout the year, on those unique karbanis, it wouldn't be Lefnai Lefnim, it would be in front of the Paroiches. But what did you do with the Shiore Hadam? The Shiore Hadam, in all cases, was poured on the Yesoid HaMizbeach HaChitzoy. So what happened with that dam that was poured on the Yesoid HaMizbeach HaChitzoy? So it splashed off onto the ground, and ultimately it wound up in the Oma. Oma was a stream, and the reason why it's called an Oma is because it was like a pipe or an indentation in the crack in the floor, which had the dimensions of Amma al Amma. It was one Amma wide and one Amma deep, and all of the dam of the Mizbeach from all the Kabanis would find its way into that Oma. So what happened with that dam? So then there was something similar to a pipe, which led all of that dam outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and it wound up in Nachal Kidron. Now, because we're talking about lots and lots of dam, the dam, by definition, had in them a lot of nutrients from the various karbonis that were geshachtim, so this was very valuable as potential zevel for fields. But Avadi can't go and just use it for fields without paying money. Why not? Because then you'll be moyel behagdish. Rashi notes that normally when we talk about Me'ila, person who's moyel, especially if he did it b'shoigig, he has to go and bring a special carbon, asham me'ilois. The Gemara, however, Mitzvah will get to Kudishim, where we're going to learn that this does not apply to Dam Kudishim, based on a posik. But even though you don't have to bring a carbon, you're still not allowed to be moyel behagdish. You can't go and abuse or misuse anything which is hegdish. So what do you do to make it os hegdish? You can go and be poided. How you poided? If you happen to be a ganon is a person who has a gina or a field, what you can do is you can pay for it. If you pay for it, that has the effect of being poided, and then they can go and use the dam. So getting back to the Lashon, although it says here Vatani, I believe it's a Mishnah. Yeah, on the side it says Vatanat. Push statement on the Mishnah. Eilu ve'elu means both the Domim HaChitzoinim and the Domim HaPadimim. Misarvin ba'oma, they all get mixed into the Oma. V'yoytzen lach ha'kidroin, and they leave then the Beis HaMikdash in some sort of a pipe of some sort. And it goes to Nachal Kidroin, v'nim korin, and we sell, meaning the gizborim of the Beis HaMikdash, sell that blood, liganonim, to those that have ginois and would like to use this blood as fertilizer. Lezevel. Mayalim Behen, says Rashi, means if they didn't pay for it. If a ganon were to use that dam without payment, he's over on Hilchas Mila, even though he doesn't have to bring a carbon, Asham Elois, but he's been over an Isser of being Moil Behekish. Anyway.
He's a ganon and he's a ganov.
I'm sorry, he's a ganan and a ganov.
He's a ganon and a ganov.
Beautiful, beautiful. Shkoyer, a ganan and a ganov at the same time. Very good. So now Zokti Gemara, what do I see from this? Since I'm saying that the dam goes into Nachal Kidron, and it's being used lezavel, so you see Nachal Kidron is megadel tzmochim. Because it's not megadel tzmochim, what do I need zevel for in an arid, dry valley where nothing grows? I mean, that would be silly. Would I go and invest money in fertilizer on a piece of land that nothing grows? Zokti Gemara, mekoymes, mekoymes, yesh. Yesh boy, yesh mokim megadol tzmochem, yesh mokim shei megadol tzmochem. Nachal Kidron had different sections, like you have today, lahavdil, in different communities. You buy a piece of property and you find out, oh, it's wetlands. What means wetlands? You can't go and build anything. 5 feet away, you can go and build up a tall edifice, but where they have the wetlands, you can't. So here too, you have in the Nachal Kidron, you have different places. Some places where you can be megadol tzmochem, some places you cannot be megadol tzmochem. And therefore, the Gemara is telling us is, the Mishnah that says that you sold the gizborim, sold the blood to the ganonim lezevel, that's talking about where there was a mokim sheh, megadol tzmochem. That we spoke about before, that King Asa took the avodah zarah and v'yodik, and he scattered it benachal kidroin. How come it didn't become fertilizer? The chacham said, you can't do that afunas zevel. Here it doesn't become Zevel, because even if it becomes Zevel, it's talking about the Mokim and Nachal Kidron, which is not Megadol Tzmach. Okay, so with this we have now, we brought the Raya of Rabbi Yossi, and we brought the response of the Rabbani. But now we go off on a tangent just for a moment. Remember that King Asa went and removed his mother, grandmother, Macha, from the royalty, from her queenship, because she made Miflatzta. And the Gemara says something that we wouldn't even be able to say if the Gemara didn't say it. Amrav Yehuda, they have a mafli leitzanusa. The word leitzanus over here doesn't mean a comedy act. The word leitzanus over here means acting with terrible depravity. And the word mafli means the extreme depravity. What do you mean extremely depraved? Kedesanya, like we learned. I'm sorry, Kedetani Rav Yosef. She took a statue and formed it into an avodah zarah. But what did the statue look like? It didn't look like a yoizel. It didn't look like chama ulavano or drakoi. She made it kimin zachris. It looked like an aver of a male. And what did she do with that? Every single day, she used that avodah zarah, the aver of this male avodah zarah. And she would live Elis Loy B'chol Yoim, she would live with it every single day. Now you say to yourself, she must have been totally mentally insane and incapacitated. True! And that's the reason why King Asa removed her from the queenship, to go and be so depraved, to go and take an avodah zarah. Not an avodah zarah that you bow down. Not even avodah zarah that you defecate like a pa'ar. That would be already royalty in terms of the avodah zarah. She lived with the avodah zarah every single day. Boy, that's really bad. And therefore, that's the Miflachta. That's
Rabbeinu.
What's up
there? In India, they have kind of a phallic symbol that they worship it all the time, and flower and ashram for Herayon and all of it.
It's one thing to worship and go and bow down to it. It's another thing to go and take that statue and insert it into your body every day. Come on. It's already... Okay, if you don't think it's depraved, that's fine with me. But that's what the Gemara calls it. Mafli leitzanusa. Mafli over here means extreme. Leitzan is extreme. Depraved. Okay.
I think in modern Hebrew, mifletzta means like a monster. Yeah.
Okay.
Is a monster.
So yeah. There's probably some relationship over here. Okay. Zukti Moravaita. So that was Raya number two to Rabbi Yossi. Raya number three. Umlem Rabbi Yossi. It says by Chizkiyo HaMelech, V'chiteis nechash nechoshe she'osa Moshe. We know in the Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, he should make the nechash nechoshes, and anybody that looks up to it, v'choi, etc., etc. And Chizkiyo HaMelech took that nechash nechoshes and v'chiteis. V'chiteis again means he pulverized it into powder. So Rabbi Yosef, just like I said in the Mishnah, shoichi v'zoich l'ruach. Amr loy nechamse misham raya. Etc. So what do I see from this pasuk? It means I say lecha, sort of. Zokti imara lecha misha lecha. That means from your own money. You go and take money out of your bank account and then buy with it the materials to make this nechash nechoishes. And of course we know that although Kadosh Baruch only said sorov, he went and bought copper, and from the copper he made this nechash nechoishes. Should be loshen noifol al loshen, right? Nechash nechoishes, good. So what difference does that make? Says Imar ve'in odem oisedover she'ene shalai. Moshe Rabbeinu obviously did not make it to avoid his art. Chas v'sholem. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, do this, put on top of a nes, put on top of a pole, and people will see it. And of course we all know what was the purpose of that. Chazal tell us that anybody that would look at that would remember, they're looking up to the sky, looking up to Meroimim, they'd realize who's the one that brings, chas v'sholem, disasters on the world, and who brings the refu on the world. Everything is Rabbeinu Shalom, Rabbeinu Shalom, Rabbeinu Shalom. So chas v'sholem, this I'm sorry, what was that, Brother Shai? Exactly. Then the Kadosh Baruch Hu brought a Yeshua Mitarifu. Thank you for reminding us of the Mishnah. Anyway, so Zokti Gemara, therefore it was not an Avodah Zarah. Since it wasn't, why wasn't it an Avodah Zarah? Because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't make it into an Avodah Zarah. And even though, what was the reason why Chizkiyahu HaMelech ultimately years later destroyed this, the Nechash Nechoshes? Because unfortunately, people did not learn that Mishnah and Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, and they thought that the Nechash itself was a deity, was a god that was able to go and give refuahs in Yeshuas. And people were worshipping it like Avodah Zarah. But guess what, says Gemara? I cannot make your object, your item into Avodah Zarah. What happens if you own an animal? As we know, in Mitzrayim, the Mitzrayim made their animals into an Avodah Zarah, and they used to bow down to their animals. And that's why it says that the Anshei, the Mitzrayim, would not eat with the family of Yosef, with the brothers, because they did eat roast beef and pastrami. And they said, you're eating our Avodah Zarah, you're eating our gods. Chulila, how can you do something like that? Oh, so what happens if I see that you own an animal, and I decide that that animal looks like a great animal for Avodah Zarah, and I convince a minion of people to go and bow down to that animal 3 times a day. Does that animal become an Avodah Zarah? No, because it doesn't belong to me, it belongs to you. Ein Odom Oysa Dabi Shem Shalai. So this Nachash HaChoshes belonged to Moshe Rabbeinu, and presumably it belonged now to his doyres, to his ear, Einikluch, and therefore it never became an Avodah Zarah. And the fact that people bow down to it, that had nothing to do with making this into an Avodah Zarah. It did not become an Avodah Zarah. It didn't become Asibanah. Zokti Mar Bahas Bedinu Dektusi Lavitzarah. You didn't even have to go and try in any way, shape, or form to obliterate, to destroy this. This is not a case of our Mishnah that you found the Avodah Zarah and you have to either be Matal Yam or according to Biyosi, Shoichi Bezele Ruach. Nothing happened. It's not Asibanah, it's Nishkan Avodah Zarah. Ella, so what's the reason why Chizkiyahu HaMelech went and Vechites Nechash Nechoshes? Kim Dechazu Dekato Yisrael Basrei. He saw that unfortunately it became a michshoil for many Yidin. Tamimus Dika Erlech Yidin, fine attire Yidin, who thought that the Kavona of this is like a second god, Chas V'Sholim. Amar V'Chisesoy. But it wasn't necessary. It has nothing to do with Hilchas Avodah Zarah. It had to do with, or Isser Hanoh of Avodah Zarah. It had to do with removing a stumbling block, a michshol by Christ. Therefore, no raya to our case. And now we go on to the fourth and final raya from Tanakh to Rabbi Yossi. Yes, Ariel.
I thought at the time of King Hezekiah, and they were very erudite, meaning even the children were experts. So how did they be so? This seems like out of character.
No, what you're saying is absolutely correct. In Tanakh, it tells us that King Hezekiah, others call it King Chizkiyahu Melech, saw, unfortunately, the low standards and the low status of Klal Yisrael. All of them, unfortunately, at least a very large percentage of Klal Yisrael, were doing Avodah Zarah. So he made a major Baal Tshuva resolution and revolution. What did he do? He took all the Avodah Zarahs and destroyed all of them. Ala Egels and Ala Shmatis and Ola Sheiris, anything and everything, he obliterated them, destroyed them, burned them, pulverized them, got rid of all of them. And then he said in Klal Yisrael, it's not only enough to be Sur Meirah, You have to be vasei toif. And therefore he said, Chevra, everybody has to go and learn here in Bismedish. And he put a cherev chada in the shar of the Bismedish that everybody has to come and learn, and ultimately everybody did come and learn, and then they became so proficient and so wise and such a grace of Tamid Chum that even a Tinnik Vitanoikis knew all Hilchas Tuma Vitahara on their fingertips.
Anyway.
Bezuk tia?
Midon v'ad Balsheba.
Oh, so in Zretai Rechav, Reb Cheski said, Midon v'ad Beersheba. They weren't able to go and find the Tinnik Vitanoikis that wasn't Baki, that was all the way from Akkoy and Haifa, all the way down to Eilat and Beersheba. Everybody and everybody knew all the halachas. So what you're saying is correct. This was part of the purification of Klal Yisrael by obliterating, eliminating, pulverizing, destroying every single Avodah Zarah, even things which were not Avodah Zarah. This Sorof, this Nechash HaChoshes, that became a stumbling block. Let's get rid of it so Chas V'Sholom, nobody should continue using it as Avodah Zarah.
I think the pasuk is the difference between Zoyda and Chittes.
Yeah, yeah.
The difference between Zoyda.
Well, but here we're talking about the Shoichik. Shoichik, we're not talking about the Zoyda.
Yeah, but Shoichik even. There's a difference between Shoichik and Chittes.
So why did we write into that?
You see that there's a Yad, there's a Tavnus Yad, Tavnus Vegel. If it's broken, I think that the Chittes is never touched. That's not Shoichik.
Our Gemara is understanding it to the equivalent of Shchika. Otherwise, Gemara could answer that. What do you bring right from Ksisa to Shtei Dvor? This is Ksisa and this is Shchika. Okay, good. If it's different, so maybe the Gemara could have answered that. And the Gemara feels I don't even need to come on to that because none of it's in the first place.
It's a tzahak, no?
Tzahak, okay. But I guess it's tzahak of Klein Yishtika where it could be used as Zevel. And they said, no problem, use it as Zevel. Sinishkana Isra no, Sinishkana Boydazar. So now we're going to the final raya of Rabbi Yosef. We had a raya from Egel. We had a raya from King Asa. We just had a raya now from Chezki HaMelech. And now we have the final raya from Tanakh to Rabbi Yosef. We're talking about over here, there was a Muhammad between David HaMelech and the Plishtim. And David HaMelech was victorious. It says in the Pasuk, Yazvishim es atzadayim, that they left behind their Avodah Zarah there in the fields. In other words, the soldiers of the Plishtim all had in their pockets around their necks, they had these Avodah Zarah, Azat Salem, and then they all fled, Makamachta Pleita, and they left behind the Avodah Zarah there on the battlefield. Vayisoyim, David Banoshev, and David and his people, Vayisoyim. Poshev Shav Yisoyim means they picked it up and they took it home. However, the way Rabbi Yossi is learning Vayisoyim means that they crushed it and pulverized it. Umay Mashma Dehai Vayisoyim, David. Lishna de Zeruyahu. The word Zeruyah is like the word Zoyra that we had in the Mishnah, Zoyra Lulach, that we went and made it into a powder and scattered it in the wind. Kidimatargim Rav Yosef, it says in the Pasuk, Tizraim Veruach Tisoim. Matargim Eden. The Targim Loshen on that Pasuk is, on Tizraim in Tizrinon, Veruach Titaltalinoin. Ah, the word Tisoim over here, the Ruach Tisoim, means that the Ruach will now scatter that. Those little pulverized powder pieces, Tizrinim. And therefore, says the Gemara, just like there, when it talks about Tizrei, Veruach Tisoim, the Tisoim means that first it was made into a powder, and then the Ruach scattered it, the Taltalina was metaltalit. Here too, although here we don't have the benefit of Tizrei and Tisoim, we only have Vayisoim, says our Gemara, Vayisoim means implicit in that it was made into little powder, and then Tisoim Haruach. The reason why the Gemara brings him to Targum Rav Yosef is a very famous Toisvis in Baba Kama on Daf Gimel, where Toisvis brings from Yesh Mufarshim that since Rav Yosef was a Sagi Nohar, and it says in the Gemara, Dvorim Shebechsav, Yi Efshe Lo'imrim Baal Peh, you're not allowed to go and repeat a Pasuk of Bechsav Baal Peh. Rav Yosef, unfortunately, was a Sagi Nohar, so he was not able to go and ever say a Pasuk Baal Peh, because he couldn't look inside. Therefore, he always would go and quote the Targum on that pasuk. That's why Toisus brings the Yesh Mafarshim, and then Toisus, however, disagrees. But the Ritva and others hold like that Yesh Mafarshim. That's why Targum Yosef is always quoted as Kimetargum Yosef, because he didn't want to go and say a pasuk Shebachsav, Baal Peh. They said that Helich Sam Soifer, whenever he would give a drasha and he would quote a pasuk, he would have either the Chumash open, or he wrote it on a piece of paper, so he shouldn't be over on Dvarim Shebechsav, Efshel Oim Baal Peh. Or, if he didn't have a Chumash, it wasn't written down, he would specially make a Shinoi in quoting the Pasuk, so he shouldn't be over on this saying a posik baltes. He would make a shino, he would change a word or something. And perhaps that's the reason why you find that sometimes in the Gemara, that the Gemara seems to err and have a mistake in the text of the Gemara. I mean, it could just simply be it was the printer's mistake, and that's why the Bach and the Gilyon always change it and say, no, the posik says differently. Or it could be that when the person was writing it down, or since, as you know, all of this was Torah Shabbat Peh, so therefore they made such a shino, maybe like some soifer. Afshio, afshinish. But bottom line is, I see that the word Vayisoyim now imposed and impressed in it that includes also this Tizrinon Zoy Leruach. Oh, Habadacharaya, that David HaMelech and his Anoshev, when they found these Avodah Zaris, they went and pulverized it and was Zoy Leruach. Omruloi, so the Chum said, Na, Bisham Raya, Hari Oimer, it says, Vayisrufu Ba'esh. Now, where's this Pasuk? So, if you look on the side, you'll see that this same story of David HaMelech and his Anoshim being victorious over the Plishtim and finding their Avodah Zaris, there's a discrepancy between the Loshon HaPasuk in Malachim and in Divrei Hayomim. In Malachim, that was the Pasuk that we quoted before, Tizrein V'ruach, not Tizrein. The Pasuk was, V'yisoyim David V'anoshav, but if you look in Divrei Hayomim, here it says, V'yisrufu Ba'esh. So now the question is, here it's talking about, you're saying Zoyl V'ruach. And here you're saying Misreif V'Be'esh, that you're burning it. Make up your mind. Since you don't have either Pasuk bringing the two together and saying they burned and they scattered it, that when it said the first time, not like you told me that means like Targum Rav Yosef, that it means Zruya, that it was first Zoyra, sorry, it was first Shoichik, and then Zoyra Ruach, that's not what it means. Here, Vayisoyim means Yisoyim Mamish. They carried away these Avodah Zaris, and they took them home. That was like the Pashup Shad, Amasa, they carried. Ah, you're going to ask me a Kasha, Koshu Kroyai Dodi, then I have a Stira. One Pasuk says, Vayisoyim, they took him home. The other Pasuk said that they went and burned them. You make up your mind. Ravuna the Ravuna Rami. Ravuna asked this stira. Ksiva Yemid David Vayisrofu Ba'esh. Uksiva Yisoim. Here David HaMelech told them, go and burn it in fire. The other Pasuk says that they carried it away. So Chastira. Loikash. Kan Koinim Shibo Iti Hagiti. Kan La'ach Shibo Iti Hagiti. What does that mean? As we pointed out earlier, somebody already asked this question, maybe Rabbi Yosef and maybe Brother Shai, didn't we say that there's another Eitzer? Oh, your Brother Shai was asking. Instead of going and throwing it into the Yam HaMelech, or instead of pulverizing it, call over a guy and tell him, be mevatel it. And if he doesn't want to be mevatel him, give him a patch and put him on. Go and give him a slap until he is mevatel it. Guess what? Iti Hagiti was a guy. He was an Akum. Originally, he was on the Plishtim side, but as David HaMelech became more and more famous, and he kept on being victorious, the Iti Hagiti jumped to David HaMelech's side. So initially, when they won the battle here against the Plishtim, David HaMelech said, you know what we should do? We should go and burn this Avodah Zarah, get rid of it, eradicate it. And then Iti Hagiti came along, David HaMelech said, stop, you don't have to burn it anymore. Iti Hagiti Timatoiva, be mevatel all of the Avodah Zarah. V'kachav Iti Hagiti said, Yerutzayim, that they should all be batel mevatel ka'afa di'ara. And then they didn't no longer had to go and burn it, but you saw him, and now they carried it away. So we've to end for the stira between the two psukim, and bottom line is, we're not talking like Rabbi Yossi understood the posik, Vayisoyim, that it's like that other posik, Kimetargim Rabbi Yosef, Tizrei v'ruach tisoyim, that it was Tizrinun v'ruach tatalina. No. Over here it means taka, poshit pshat Vayisoyim, that they carried. The Gemara is saying, don't get carried away, Rabbi Yossi. They, in fact, carried away these Avodah Zaris. Why didn't they burn it? It wasn't necessary because Iti Hagiti came and he was Mevatel. How do we know that Iti Hagiti came on the scene? Oh, because we find a similar case. Zoktimor Dechsiv says in the Pasuk, V'yikach es Ateris. Now, the Pasuk says Ateris Malkam. Ator, of course, means the coronet or the crown of their king. However, the Gemara is darshaning Malkam as if it says Milkoim. Milkoim was the name of the Avodah Zarah of that Ummah. And he, Iti Hagiti, took off the crown from Milkoim, from that Avodah Zarah, Me'al Roshoy, Umishkola, and its weight was Kikar Zohav, a whole kikar of gold. And what did he do? We'll see in a moment. He gave it to David HaMelech, that David HaMelech should put it on his head. Freit Dimara, Umishari, how could David HaMelech go and take that crown from Milkoim, from the Avodah Zarah? Is Isri HaNo'aninu, even though it's not the Avodah Zarah itself, but it's an accessory to the Avodah Zarah, and that also gets a din of Isr Hanor. So how is David HaMelech able to go and take that crown and use it on his head? Rav Nachman, Ite Gitti Bo Bitla, like we said before, Ite Gitti came, he saw the crown, he saw Milkoim, and he said, Milkoim, Milkoim, Shmilkoim, and he was Mavatalit, and he was Mavatalit, therefore not only the Avodah Zarah, but also all the accessories. And therefore the crown now became Mutter Bano, and that's how David HaMelech was able to go and use it. And therefore that, we see Ite Gitti has already twice been Mevatel Avodah Zarah, here by Milkoim, and also by the Plishtim. But since we start getting into this, the Gemara asks, Mishkola Kikar Zov, wow, that's very heavy. To give you a sense of it, the Art Scroll says that that is 64 pounds. 64 pounds. Heichi Motzi Manachla. How is David HaMelech able to go and put it on his head? If you ever go traveling, you have to make sure that your baggage is not more than 50 pounds. And very often if it's 50 pounds, it's heavy. Can you imagine wearing that big suitcase of 50 pounds on your head? And now we're not talking about 50, we're talking about 64 pounds. And he didn't wear it just for 1 second. How can a person wear it? So Mark gives a couple of answers. Number one, Amar Yira Marav, Ru'uya Lanuach Al Roish David. David HaMelech never actually wore it. What the Gemara is saying is that it was, like the Gemara is going to say shortly, it was holmasai. Holmasai means that it fit his head perfectly, and therefore were it to be lighter, he could have worn it on his head. He didn't need to adjust it. It was one size, not fits all, but one size of Milkoim's crown fit David HaMelech pinklach exactly to the measures and dimensions of his head. So Hitaka didn't wear it, but he could have worn it had it been lighter. That's pshat number one. Pshat number two, Rabbi Yosef b'Chanina Omar, Evan She'eves Hoysa Boh, to have a Dorala, that there was an Evan She'eves. Evan She'eves means a magnet. Now, although the Lashon HaGemara Hoysa Boh sounds like in the crown itself, how does that work, a magnet with a crown? So Toysa says, we don't mean that it was in the crown itself, but as part of the throne where David HaMelech sat, above where the king sits, there was like a shtickel kippa, like a shtickel canopy on top. That canopy on top had there a hidden magnet, and that magnet was so strong that it held up the crown in mid-air, pinked over David HaMelech's head, so it looked like David HaMelech was carrying the entire crown on his head, but really that was not accurate. Most, if not all of the weight, was held up by that magnet on top of the throne. Reb Loza Omar, Eben Yekara Hoysabah, Sheshova Kikazov. Reb Loza says, my good friends, you're misunderstanding the pasuk. The Mishkal over here doesn't mean the weight. It means the value of this crown was such that it was a Kikazov. Now you're thinking to yourself, well, normally the weight, that dictates the value. For instance, if you have, whenever we talk about a mishkal of matbeis in the Gemara, matbeis are not like today, that it could be worth inherently nothing. Just look at the coinage, the mintage. There it was worth its weight in gold, literally. So if it happens to be a crown, it's a kikazov, don't tell me it's only had the value of kikazov. By definition, it had the weight of a kikazov as well. No, Rabbi Lazar says, don't look at the frame of the crown, look at the jewels on the crown. The frame itself was relatively light. The reason why it was so expensive, Mishkolach Kikuzov, is because of the precious gems. They had beautiful diamonds and beautiful gems on the crown, and that had the value of a Kikuzov. Abulamaisa, it wasn't that heavy in the first place.
And from that time on, he had a price on his head.
Psh, wow. That was a very... That was a gem of a comment. Anyway, then the Gemara could... Yes, Ariel.
So Rashi, about halfway down, for Ella Vayisa'e Mamash, it says, Natlam imo v'nehenemehem, Like, what does that mean? He derived utility from it?
That's going back on the previous Gemara about the Avodah Zarah of the Plishtim, which are Osir Ba'na, until Iti Hagiti, the Goy, came, and he was Mavatlid. Once he's Mavatlid, Avodah Zarah becomes Mutar Ba'na. So we saw him.
When it says Natlam Imo Benehenemehem, is that referring to the Goy, or who's that referring to?
It's referring to the officers and military and the soldiers of David HaMelech, that initially David HaMelech said, burn them all, and then Iti Hagiti came in with a special express train, and he said, I'm here. Oh, we could use your services. Please be Mavatal all these Avodah Zarahs. He was Mavatal them, and now they have become totally Mutar Ba'na, and V'yisayim, they were able to take it home and do whatever they wanted with it. Getting
they
back.
They got carried away.
They got carried away, exactly right. So let's continue on.
The crown was Roykus and David HaMelech. Yeah, we had a case where the Adonis, there was a certain crown that fit on David's head in a certain way that other
I'm very, very happy that you brought that up. I was going to bring it up in another few lines. What you're saying is correct. And if you have the Likutei Rashi on the side, the Likutei Rashi on the bottom, he brings from the Sechta Sanhedrin, from the Rashi, that the crowns that were worn by Malchus Beis David, besides their dimensions and their size, there was a thin rod down the middle from one end to the other end, which most people, if they put it on their heads, they wouldn't be able to, because that rod would protrude and wouldn't allow for the head to fit in. But Rashi brings in Masechet Sanhedrin that there was a special, we might think of it as a birth defect, but what the Gemara is telling us, it wasn't a defect, it was a superior sign from Hashem that this person is a person of royalty, in the sense that David HaMelech and his progeny, that all were became kings, they had a slight cleft, a slight chrit in their skulls. So that rod of the crown fell and fit directly into that cleft. That's what you're referring to, Holmasoi. And the reason I didn't mention it until now, because this will be Nageya more in the next few lines. But you're 100% right. That's one of the rais for Holmasoi, not just the dimensions, where Rashi and Sanhedrin says, because that rod felt fit directly into the cleft that David HaMelech had on his head. We'll get back to that. But in the meantime, says Gemara Vayse, when David HaMelech saw that crown, he said, Zoi Zoi Soli, oh, this crown is for me. Ki pikudecha notzorti, because I followed your pikudim, your mitzvahs. My koma, what is the pshat in pasuk? Hoki koma, bischar shi pikudecha notzorti, because of the fact that I listened to your mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so hoisa li li edus. This crown is now testimony, attesting to me. In which respect, my edusa, what is it testifying, what is attesting? He would put the crown on his head and would fit directly in the place where one puts the tefillin. Frank Timara, that's not a good sign. But didn't David HaMelech have to put tefillin on? So therefore, if the crown is going to fit exactly where you put the tefillin, then he won't be able to put tefillin on. And remember, people in the good old days wore tefillin the whole day. They didn't just wear it for shachris. So how could he wear this tefillin and wear the crown at the same time? The mokim where you put your tefillin is much larger than we think. It certainly does not include the forehead. So if you see people where the tefillin is on the forehead, that's of course a mistake. However, don't think it's just a narrow little 1 by 1 quarter of an inch, but rather there's enough place to put two tefillin. Many of you may know that among the Yemenites and other Sephardim, those that put on not only Rashi tefillin, but also Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, they put them on at the same time, not one after the other subsequently, but at the same time simultaneously, the two tefillin, one after the other. So not one after the other, one together with the other. Why? Because it's Mokim Baroish for both tefillin. Ah, so he had the tefillin on, as well as he had the Mokim of the crown, and there was no stira between the two. Says the Gemara Vayta, Vayitziu es ben HaMelech, Vayitnu Olav es HaNezer v'es HaEdus. They took out the son of the king. Now who is the son of the king that we're referring to? Rashi says we're referring to Yoyosh. Yoyosh was the only survivor after Asalia went and she killed out Kol Zer HaMelucha. She left behind Yoyosh, who was a little kid, who was protected and therefore was able to live. In subsequent years, when he grew up, he was able to go and put the crown on his head, and he became the new king subsequently. Now what means Nezer, of course, is the crown. What means the Edus? So Gemara, Nezizu, Kalila Edus. The fact that it was Homosoi, like Gemara is going to say in a moment, that it fit directly over his head, that was the Edus that he is Roi Lamalucha. Like Gemara says, Rabbi Yudah Amar Rav, Edus Ulebeis David, Shekola Roi Lamalchis, Homosoi, Bechosh Ein Roi Lamalchis, Ein Homosoi. So it's on this Gemara, the Rashi in Sanhedrin, that Brother Shai was quoting before, that it wasn't just the dimensions were exactly like the head of David HaMelech and his progeny and his Einikluch, but also that rod Yoyosh had on his head, also such a cleft, such a chritz on his head, and the rod of the crown fit directly into that cleft, and therefore they knew he is royal amalus. On the other hand, he had Adoniah ben Chagis. Adoniah ben Chagis was a son of David HaMelech, and he wanted to be the successor to David HaMelech instead of Shloimeh HaMelech, just like Avshalom. Adoniah also wanted to be Melech instead of Shloimeh. And Adoniah ben Chagis, Misnas Leimer, Ani Amloch, I'm going to be the successor to Tati, to David HaMelech. However, Amr Yudah Amar Rav, Hisnasi L'Holmoy V'loy Holmosa, he tried to put the crown on his head of a Sanish Gigangin. It did not fit. So Poshup Shad again didn't fit, it was too big or too small. But again, according to the Rashi in Sanhedrin, he didn't have that cleft in his head, and therefore the rod interfered with putting the crown on his head. If anything, he just got a tremendous headache, and therefore we knew that Adoniah is not Roy Lamalus. Finally, since, yes?
Yeah, he needed that like a hole in the head.
Beautiful, beautiful. So, just to finish off this shtickle, it said about Adoniah, when he made his, got together people that were his followers to go and take over the Malucha after David HaMelech, it says, he had 50 people that were running in front of him, runners. Big deal, 50 people. I'm presuming Shlomo HaMelech had 1,000 people. This is the Chiddush with the 50 people. These were marathon runners. How do I know they were marathon runners? Says the Gemara, they were netule tchoil. Tchoil is a spleen. They made sure to remove their spleens because spleens only added weight, presumably not only the physical weight of the spleen, but also because it makes a person more sluggish, apparently, and therefore all of those tchoils were removed. Now you're wondering, how did they remove them? Did they have surgery? Rashi in Sanhedrin says that they all drank a sam, some sort of poison, some sort of medication that caused the tchoil to dissolve internally, and therefore now they're 1 or 2 pounds lighter. As you know, nowadays everybody's concerned about extra weight. Oh, this is, you don't have to go and take Sempak or all those wonderful drugs that they take today. Just go and take something to cause its oil to dissolve, and automatically you're going to be 1 or 2 pounds lighter. But besides that, Chakuke Kapis Raglaim Hoyu. What does that mean? Says Rashi, they went and cut away the bottom of their feet, the soles of their feet, and they used to run barefoot without shoes, without sandals, etc. And what's the benefit of doing that, says Rashi? By removing the soles on the bottom of their feet, they were not margish pekoitzim ube barkonim. Normally, any other runner would have to be concerned. Oy, 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 I'm going to go and step on all these thorns and all of these thistles, and it's going to cause me tourists with infections. Nah! They removed the sole of the bottom of their feet, and therefore they were able to sprint and run without any difficulty. And that's the chiddush of these 50 marathon runners. Okay, on to new Mishnah. Zog the Mishnah, a very interesting dialogue. Shal Proclus ben Philosophus. Ooh, what a name. Who is this Proclus? Says Rashi, min of Oivit Kachom Hoya. He wasn't just Stam and Oivit Kachom, he was a min. He was, now what exactly is a min in this connection? Gemara doesn't go into that, but you remember we had Rashi on Chav Vav Amid Beis, the top Rashi said, min means koimrim lavoidis kechavim. We're talking about a koimer. Koimer means a galach, a priest. So he wasn't just Stam and an Oivik Chav. Priest. Moreover, it says Ben Philosophus. Poshipshat means his name was Proclus and his father's name was Philosophus. However, the Tiferes Yisrael, the Yochanan Boyez Mishnah says no. Ben Philosophus means that was his title. He was a philosopher. And he was the Proclus, the famous philosopher, the Plusfus, which is, if you look at the word philosopher, is very similar to the word philosophus, philosopher. So Ben over here doesn't mean the son of, it means that that was his umnus, that was his trade. He was called philosopher Proclus. Okay. Anyway, he wanted to make tzuris for Ram Gamliel. So he asked Ram Gamliel be Akoi, in the city of Akoi. She'eroiches v'merchet shel Afroditi. He saw that Ram Gamliel would go to the mikveh, to the base of merchet, and outside the base of merchet there was a big statue of Afroditi. Many of you have told me already in the past that Afroditi is some sort of Greek mazel for fertility and love. Oh, beautiful. But of course that's considered to be an avodah zarah. Since it's considered to be avodah zarah, how could Ram Gamliel, the Nusi, Ram Gamliel, he went and toiveled in a mikveh or in a beis hamerchitz. I don't know if there was a mikveh there, but at least it was a beis hamerchitz. How could he go to the beis hamerchitz? Met an Afroditi, met an avodah zarah. And that was the question that Proclus asked him. Now, he didn't ask him in the middle of the daf, but he asked him in the beis hamerchitz. They were both going to the beis hamerchitz together. This Rusha Marisha, this Min Proclus, was asking him Gamliel. Afraid him. Which means that you're now going to have hanua from avodah zarah. This merchitz belongs to their god Aphrodite, and you're having hanua from avodah zarah. How are you allowed to do that, Ram Gamliel? Omaloi, so Ram Gamliel answered him, "Ein meishivim b'merchitz." I'd like to tell you the pshat, advar halucha, the answer. You're now going to go and talk in the merchitz in the advar halucha. The Gemara is going to ask shortly, how is he even able to say Ein Meshivim B'Merchitz? Ein Meshivim B'Merchitz doesn't mean we don't talk here in the Merchitz. Rashi says Ein Meshivim Divrei Torah B'Merchitz, because it's not a Mokim Mechubad, you can't go and say Divrei Torah. So the Gemara is going to ask in a moment, how is he even able to say those words? He should have just nodded with his head and, you know, somehow made a sign that I'll tell you outside. How is he even able to say these words, Ein Meshivim B'Merchitz? The Gemara is going to talk about that shortly. Ukshiyotza. When they left the base of Merchitz, Omalai, Ram Gamliel said to Proclus, Ani leibasi bigvulah, he ba'a bigvuli. What does that mean? It means this base of Merchitz is already here for 50 years. And I've been going to this base of Merchitz for years and years and years. And recently, they put up this Aphrodite. Is it my fault that they added this Aphrodite? Aphrodite is tufel to the base of Merchitz. The ik of this base of Merchitz has been here for many, many years. And therefore, I've been going to it. Now that they put up this statue, what does that have to do with me? So a guy in this statue is a guy in Dreheran. I have nothing to do with me. And he added, Ein oimim nasa merchitz noil afroditi, el oimim nasa afroditi noil merchitz. The derech ha'olam is, you go and make a merchitz. Now, to attract people, you know, even today, you know, marketing and advertising is a great tzach. If you want people to come to this base of merchitz, what difference man is done at this base of merchitz from another base of merchitz? Oh, if you make a beautiful statue, and if there's going to be a fountain, and sitam with ganze signs and colors, then everybody will come to this base of merchitz instead of the other one, because it's aha shana. So therefore, does anybody say, let's first go make the statue, and now add a base of merchitz? Ach! Your first base makes a merchitz to make money and to, for the toivus hatzibur, and then you, after that, you start thinking, how can I make it pretty and beautify, and then you go and put up this Aphrodite. So Zokter, Anil Basi Bigvullah, Hiba Bigvuli. The merchitz has been here for many years, and now they just added recently this Aphrodite to increase business. Nobody ever says, let's go, we have Aphrodite, let's go and make it more beautiful and more pretty by building a merchitz. People say Nasa Aphrodite. First, let's make the Mesa Merchitz. And then, if you want to attract people, then you make Noil Merchitz. You go make the Aphrodite as the beautiful statue for the Merchitz. That was his first shot. Dover Acher, Nochazach, said Ram Gamliel to Proclus, Im Noisin Lacham Momen Harbe, Iata Nichlas Avoidus Chom Shulcha, Orum, Ubal Keri, Umashim Mefaneha, if I were to pay you a lot of money, would you go and be Mevaze your Avoidus Zorah? To go in front of it, Orem, without clothing, like we all go in the base of Merchitz. The Aphrodite is standing there. Can you imagine going into your church, into your base of Avodah Zarah, and go and on and take off your clothing? Azabi Zoyin. So we're meeting Mavaza the Aphrodite. Ubalkari, if a person is a Balkari, would he come in front of his Avodah Zarah? What does the Gemara mean? So the Mefarshim say that there's an allusion to another Gemara, I think it's Masechta Shabbos, where it says that what happens if a woman says that she became pregnant from the zera inside a merchitz, inside a mikveh. I'm sorry?
It's an embatya.
In embatya, exactly right. So, obviously, this is something which is very, very unique and unusual, but were it to happen, a lot of the modern-day halachas that talk about artificial insemination, they learn from those cases of the embati, whether it's a problem or not a problem. Anyway, but bottom line is, would a balkeri come in front of the avodah zarah and then emit keri in front of him? Or mashvi mifaneh, would a person go in front of his own avodah zarah and start going and urinating? I know all of you are thinking, well, that's what they do with the Baal Pa'ar. The Gemara is going to ask that question shortly, so don't be nervous. But in the meantime, says Ram Gamliel, Zu, this Aphrodite, Oimedes al Pi Abiv, is situated right next to the sewage pipe that's coming out of the Beis HaMechitz. And everybody uses that sewage pipe where the sewage is going out. After they finished with going to the Beis HaMechitz, they have to go to Beis HaKisei. There was no Beis HaKisei there, so they all started urinating in front of this Aphrodite. Ah, Zukti Mara, continues Ram Gamliel, Lenemar Ela El Oyeheyem. What is this pasuk Eliheim? Shein pasuk. Abe to Amdun es kol makayim shi avshavdon shal makayim shatam yoshim oisam es Eliheim. So you have to destroy Abe to Amdun, get rid of all the avodah zaras. Why does the Torah use Eliheim? Es shenoyig boy mishum Eliah oser. When you find a statue that the goyim are worshipping it as if it were a deity, as if it was a god, then oser, destroy it. But they're not treating this avodah zarah Aphrodite with covet and respect. They go and urinate in front of it. They go to do the meir aglayim. They go to the bathroom. So this is no problem. That's why I'm allowed to attend this. I'm allowed to go to this Beis HaMechitz. So you see that Ram Gamliel gave a couple of answers, but his initial answer was, I cannot speak to you in the Beis HaMechitz because ein meshivin the Beis HaMechitz. What was the lashon of the Mishnah? Ein meshivin b'merchitz. How could he even say those words? You're allowed to be mahar in Divrei Torah everywhere, except for Beis HaMerchitz, Beis HaKisei. Not only you're not allowed to talk Divrei Torah in the Beis HaMerchitz, Beis HaKisei, you're not allowed to even be mahar here. And Rabbi Gamliel spoke Divrei Torah in the Beis HaMerchitz, and he said, I'm not allowed to speak Torah in the Beis HaMerchitz. That's really a psak halacha. How can he give up psak halacha in the Beis HaMerchitz? And moreover, you're going to tell me, he didn't say it in Hebrew. He said it in Greek or in English. And that's mutter. If you're allowed to go and say Dvarim Shel Choyl, then you could say it in Hebrew. If you're not allowed to go and say in Hebrew, you're not allowed to go and say in English. No difference. It makes no difference what lashon he used. So how could Ram Gamliel say Ein Meshivim B'Merchitz? Every day. It's talking about when he left the Beis HaMerchitz. Inside the Beis HaMerchitz, he nodded with his head, but he didn't say a word. When he left the Beis HaMerchitz, then he says, now I'm going to go and tell you. Wondering, why I didn't tell you until now? Because Ein Meshivim B'Merchitz. But he didn't say Ein Meshivim B'Merchitz when he was still in the Merchitz, only after he left the Merchitz. So according to the Gemara, you kind of have to assume or add a word, kishiyotza. But that's a little bit difficult, because if you look at the Lashon of the Mishnah again, you see the fifth line, Omaloi ein meshivim b'merchitz, o kishiyotza omaloi, when he left, he said, ani levasi b'gvula. You already told me? He already was yotza. According to your pshat, Tana, in Agamar, kishiyotza omaloi ein meshivim b'merchitz. So what is this double yitzir? He yotza, and he said, ein meshivim b'merchitz, and then again, kishiyotza, he said, ani levasi b'gvula. It's a bit so shver. So because of that, there are a couple of pshatim. Pshat number one is that you have to be goyris, not ukishiyatza, but kishiyatza. And you have to go and put your punctuation a little bit differently. Om aloi, ein meshivim b'merchitz, kishiyatza. When do you tell him ein meshivim b'merchitz? After he already left, then he said ein meshivim b'merchitz. You know why? I couldn't talk to you until now. Because ein meshivim b'merchitz. So this kishiyatza is not modifying Omaloi anile basi mikvula hiba mikvuli, but it's modifying ein meshivim b'merchitz. Of course, that's a bissel a doichik pshat, because the Tana, the Braise says the kishiyotza was before the ein meshivim b'merchitz, not after ein meshivim b'merchitz. Another pshat is ein echanami. you have to go and do a what's the lashon of Gemara? Chasrin u'maisifin. You have to go and first take out a word and then you moisif. In other words, take out ukashiyatza and throw it and insert it in one line higher. That what he asked them, why are you being roichet to merchet shalafrutiti? Oh, kishiyatza. And then he continued on, that's all to Bissel Shver, because what do you need a double Omaloi? If you say Kishiyata Omalay Mishima Berchitz, then it should say Vani Loi Basi. What's the adding again the Omaloi? So Toysis has a beautiful, beautiful pshat b'shem Dari. He quotes the Gemara Masech de Shabbos that in the good old days the Beis Merchitz had three sections to it. Section number one is where people came in and they discussed with the Balan, they want to go and rent a towel and get two pieces of soap, etc. And that's where everybody was fully dressed. Then there was the Chedru Emtzoi, where people disrobed. Half of the people were dressed and half of the people were not dressed. Disrobed. And the final one, that was the Cheder HaPnimi, that's where people actually went into the Ambatya, into the shower, into the bath, into the men, and where everybody was totally undressed. And the din that you're not allowed to speak, that is, or Divrei Torah, that's the one that's Lefnai v'lefnim. That was the Panimi one. Then you're now going to say, you can't even do She'eva Sholim, because Sholim is one of the names of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You can't say to return, Garnish, don't. He would not have been able to say, Ein Meshim B'merit. When he came to the Amtsoi, there he said, you know why I didn't speak to you until now? Because Ein Meshim B'merit. But I'm not going to tell you anything more than that. That you're allowed to say in the Amtsoi. Rashi says the reason is, or Toysis says the reason is, because he had to say something. So he said, Eimashiv Mamechitz. I'm not telling you to retire. I'm just telling you, Eimashiv. Now, Kishiyotze, when he went the second time out, so you have the attack of the two Kishiyotzes. Inside the Panimi, he didn't say a word. Kishiyotze, when he left the Panimi to the Emtsoi, then he says, Eimashiv. And now, Kishiyotze, when he left the Panimi, and he went to the Bayis Achitzoi, where everybody's fully dressed, oh, now I'll tell you the Ganta Torah. And then he told him the rest of the Mishnah, because he came Bigvuli and that I didn't come Bigvula, etc. So Taka, both Kishiyotzes are very, very good. Okay, so from here to the bottom of the Amid, Rab Chomer Bar Yosef is quoting his Rebbe, Rab Oishia, where Rab Oishia said that the teret that Rab Gamliel gave to the Min, he was, Gemara calls it a tshuva ginuva. What means ginuva? Says Rashi, he was just being doichehim bekash. In other words, he looked upon this min as being stam hashegetz, you're bothering me, don't bother me, and he pushed him away, he pushed him aside with nothingness. And then each time Reb Chama Bar Yosef was going to go and say, no, he gave him a real good tshuva, as we'll see. And Gemara is going to have four possibilities, four alternatives. What did Reb Oishia mean by saying tshuva genuva? And what did Reb Chama Bar Yosef mean to say? No, a good gezat. So let's see. Amr Reb Chama Bar Yosef. They take out the word brevi. Amr Reb Chama Bar Yosef, Amr Reb Oishia. Tshuva genuva heishivoi Ram Gamliel li oisei hegmain. Tshuva genuva means, Rashi says, it was doiche bekash. He just pushed him aside. Toysis learns a little bit differently. Toysis learns tshuva genuva means that he engaged in some deception. He deceived them with these terutzim. Vani oime, but I, the Talmud, Reb Chama Bar Yosef, I respectfully disagree with my Rebbe Reb Oishia. Ain't a genuva. I think he gave him a good tshuva. Zukti Mar, my genuva say, what did Reb Oishia mean that it was a tshuva genuva? So the Gemara has now four versions. Version number one, my genuva say, to come alike. He said in the Mishnah, Zoi Melech Agapi Abib, Chalad Mashi Befaneha, Chi Mashi Befaneha. So you see from that it was not a real Avodah Zarah, because it was mavazah, it's by urinating, by going to the, being mashed in the front of the Avodah Zarah. What type of tshuva is that Amram Gamliel? If a person goes to the Baal Pa'ar, and he defecates in front of the Baal Pa'ar, you and I both will look at this as being Ein Lecha Bizoyin G'doyle Mizu. No, fakir, that was the covet that they went and that's how they served their avodah zarah. And if a person does this on a constant basis, he goes to his pa'ar and he defecates, ain't a bottle, doesn't become bottle. So that being the case, what does he bring a raya? The fact that everybody's urinating in front of this Aphrodite. Is a chasim, they're being mevazit. You see, from the Baal Pa'ar, this nishka bizoyim, maybe that's the way you worship it. If I can't, you know, maybe that's the covet that you're urinating in front of this Baal, this Aphrodite. So that was why Raboshia felt that this wasn't the real answer. Bani Oimer and I tell you, no, ain't a genuva. So Avodos Bekach, so Avodos Bekach. You can't compare the two. By the Baal Peor, if you look in the sign as you come into the church, and they say the rules and regulations of Baal Peor is, if you really want to do a good job in worshipping, make sure that you haven't gone to the bathroom for 3 days, and now go and take some castor oil or something else, and go and let it all splash out, and then we're going to go and give you a medal and award for being oivid, this avoided. That's avodas bekach. That's the way they do it. But Aphrodite, there's no mitzvah, no avoida of going and urinating. Oh, so this is taka b'derech kavoid, if you will, by the Baal Peor. And this is b'derech b'zoyin. So therefore, et igim, a good tshuva after all. Amar Abaye. Abaye said, I'll tell you a second shot. Genuv samihacha. What did Raboishia mean that it was a geneva? Tik omalei. Ani lo gvasa b'gvula. V'ba b'gvuli. I didn't come to the merchitz after Aphrodite was there. I went to the merchitz. Only subsequently did they build the Aphrodite later on. What difference does it make? Even if the Aphrodite was there first, still Rabban Gamliel would be allowed to go and use the base of merchitz. But now I'm going to learn to the Mishnah. Avodas Chachamim sheyesh la merchitz. The Avodas Chachamim, even if Avodas Chachamim was there first, and the Avodas Chachamim, the church, owns this base of merchitz, oigina, or a garden, nena mehen shloi b'toyva. You're allowed to go and use the base of merchitz, or use a gina, as long as it's shloi b'toyva. Now, what does that mean? Nehena mehem shloi b'toyva. Rashi says that means that you and I, any erlich hayid, can go and use the space of merchitz as long as we don't say shkoyich at the end. We're not makir toyva. We just do our thing. We go to the base of merchitz. We go wash ourselves, and we go home, and we don't go and say a word. That's permissible. You're not makir toyva to them. It's okay. Ah, so that being the case, Zokti Moritz, it makes no difference whether the Avodas Chachamim was there first or the Avodas Chachamim was there last. The reason why Rav Gamliel was able to go into this merchitz was because he was not makir toyva, meaning he was quiet. Whenever he left, he didn't say a word. You're not supposed to say. So therefore, this distinction of before or after makes no difference. Since he was not shloi b'toyva, he didn't say shkoyach, he's allowed to use the base of merchitz, even if the Avodas Chachamim came first. Bani Oimer, I say, no, ain't a genuva. Shloi b'toyvus Ram Gamliel, ki b'toyvus acherim dami. What does that mean? Even if Ram Gamliel didn't say shkoyach each time, he nevertheless benefited the base of merchitz and the church people. How? Because when people heard that Ram Gamliel goes to this base of merchitz, so then everybody else said, no. If Ram Gamliel can go there, so I can also go there, right? Ram Gamliel.
He was the Nasi.
Exactly, he was the Nasi. So if the Nasi can go, I, the plain commoner, I can certainly go to this place of Merchitz. So guess what? There was a long line of people around the block from here to Canarsie, all going to this place of Merchitz because they heard Ram Gamliel comes. So even though he didn't say Shkoyach, the fact that he went there, with that he was already gave them that Shkoyach implicitly. Rashi says, Toivi Lehem. When he is going to that merchitz, because now everybody goes to that base of merchitz. Ah, so that's why you have to make the distinction between whether he ba bigvuli or ani ba bigvula. That since I was there first, before the Aphrodite came, that's why it's totally permissible for me to go and use this base of merchitz. Teretz number three. Reb Simon bar Chiya Amar Genuv Semihacha. What was the Geneva to come? Loi. Zu amiras alabi v'chol od mashtina b'faneh. Frank Timara. What Ram Gamliel is suggesting is this is a derech bizoyin, and therefore no problem going to this merchitz. My good friend, Vatanam Galant in the Mishnah, Rok Bifaneh. What happens if you have a goy that is a oived this avoid zara, and then one day he gets very agitated, very upset, and he spits in the face of the avoid zara, or hishtim Bifaneh. He goes and mashtin on the avoid zara, or girra v'zorek ba'asatzoya. Or he schleps the Avodah Zarah, and then he throws tzoya at it, harizu eini b'teila. This does not make it bottle. All of these acts, even though these are acts of bizoyin, they do not make it bottle. So the same thing over here. Even though people are mashed b'fanel, doesn't make it bottle. So how is Ram Gamliel able to say, I can use the merchitz because everybody's mashed b'fanel? Mashed b'fanel is limal of loymoyrit. It doesn't become bottle from its toiras Avodah Zarah. Vani oyimar eini genuva. Now this was a good answer. That Mishnah, the Rok Lefaneo, means a person who had a bad day at work, he lost a lot of money, the stock market went down, he lost a lot of money, and he's so upset that he goes into the church and he spits at Avodah Zarah. You're supposed to help me out. You know how much takrevis I give you every year, and how much I pay dues and membership dues, and you're not helping me, and he spits at it, and he's mashed in, etc., etc. The next morning he wakes up, and then he appeases, and he's, Baruch Hashem, in a better mood, and he goes back to the Avodah Zarah, and he says, I'm so sorry, Hashamnu v'gadnu, what I did, and da-da-da-da-da. So that's not mevatel, because he just did that in a fit of anger. Every day of the week when people, not during the 9 days, but every day of the week when people are using this Beis HaMerchitz, they constantly, when they come out, they give a goodbye present, they're all mashed in the fanel. So therefore, Rav Gamliel says, no problem in going to the Merchitz, because it's not a covet for the Afroditi, it's only a bizoyin for the Afroditi. And the final pshat of Yomar. Rabbi Bar Ula Omar, genufsa mihacha. What did Rav Oishe mean that this is a tshuva genuva? Tekomale. Ein oimim nasa Merchitz noy Afroditi, ele nasa Afroditi noy la Merchitz. After all, Afroditi is only the accessory, that's only the adornment for the Merchitz. The Merchitz is not an adornment for the Avodah Zarah. Frey Timara, Mechi Omar, Nas Merchitz Avoditi, Noi Mayhava. And what happens if Taka, they would say that the Merchitz is the Noi, is the adornment for the Avodah Zarah? What difference does that make? What time you? Didn't we learn in the Braisa? Oy Mabaya Zel Avodah Zarah Chum, Koy Zel Avodah Zarah Chum, Liam Aklum, Shein Hegsh Avodah Zarah Chum. If you're a Goy, and you own a house, and you say, this house should be Avodah Zarah, or this cost, this job, should be a shtick of Avodah Zarah, says the Brais Lamaklum, nothing happened. It's still a plain, ordinary house, a plain, ordinary job. The way that you make something to the Avodah Zarah is by worshipping it. Rashi gives a mashal, if you give not a mashal, an example, if you bring a takroivis. If you take, have your house, or your job, and then you take an animal, and you slaughter it, you shecht it for the Avodah Zarah, and say, Avodah Zarah, my house, my jug, I'm bringing you a present, I'm bringing you this sacrifice. Oh, such a nice guy. Or if he said, I'm going to make this bias now, or this kois now, into a bal par, and then he says, okay, get ready, get the toilet paper ready, I'm now going to go and defecate, I'm now going to go to the bathroom. Oh, now he makes him to Avodah Zarah. But just the dibur alone is gunisht mitnisht. So Zokti Yomara, why is he distinguishing between whether the Merchitz was a noil afroditi is a noil merchitz? It makes no difference. Just putting up the statue and saying nothing, this merchitz doesn't become a shtick avodah zarah. It only becomes a shtick avodah zarah if you worship it. Did you see anybody worshiping and bowing down to this space of merchitz? No. So therefore, it never became avodah zarah. It never became asur ba'anah. So what's the problem? Bani oimer ain't a gnuvitz, and the teretz is a good teretz. He did tzur le'mitzra. You're right, of course. There's no Isra HaNor which attaches to the Beis HaMerchitz. Because until you say that this Beis HaMerchitz should itself be Avodah Zarah, and not only just saying it, but actually worshipping it by bringing a takroivis, or at least doing a hishtachavah, bowing down to it, to Epis, Dibur alone is gunish. What's the expression? Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never harm me, right? So you give it a name, Avodah Zarah, that's nothing. You gotta do an action. Just the fact that you call it Avodah Zarah, so it's gunish mekunish. So Timur, you're right. Even though it's really mitzvah, but noimia ikka, but after everything is said and done, this Beis HaMerchitz is an adornment, it's a noi for this Aphroditi. And because of that, it should l'choira become osur. That's why the Gemara says, no, Siddur Gamliel, if it would taka be that the Merchitz is a noi for the Avodah Zarah, I wouldn't use it to go and be mechaber the Avodah Zarah, to use this nice adornment. No. Nobody goes and say that the Merchitz is an adornment for the Avodah Zarah. It's the Avodah Zarah which is the adornment for the Merchitz. I have nothing to do with that Avodah Zarah. Get out of here, Avodah Zarah. I didn't put you there. I didn't need you there. I came in. It came bigvuli. I didn't come bigvula. And so therefore, this was a good shakl v'tari, a good teretz after all. So the Gemara started off the Rebbe Chaim Bar Yosef said in the name of Rebbe Voshia that he just deceived them by Ndoichim Bekash, by giving these Torahs in the Mishnah. And Rebbe Chaim Bar Yosef went and defended Rabbi Gamliel and said, no, every one of the things that he said was Emes V'amuna, Emes V'yatziv, it was good gezogt, good geentet. With this we conclude, Rebbe Yisai. Everybody should have a wonderful, beautiful